excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it. On the road again.
Now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving. Keep turning our way, and our way
is on the road again. Welcome to this Arizona State edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford, reporting to you on the road home, albeit a little wet, but from the Arizona State game. Well, I'm not sure which team is Jekyll and which team is Hyde, but the opposite one that showed up last week in Los Angeles was back at Memorial this week for a 50-17 win over Arizona State. Particularly notable in that 17 is that 14 of those points were not given up by the defense. One touchdown came off of a blocked punt, and the other by a fumble by backup quarterback Brock Manchin that was returned for a touchdown. So the defense gave up a total of 3 points. And they gave up those 3 points in the very first drive of the game when Arizona State got a lucky break on a ball that should have been intercepted, but instead was deflected up in the air where the receiver came down with the ball, putting them just outside field goal range. A couple of position-moving plays later, Arizona State got on the board for their only offensive score of the game before Cal had ever seen the ball. The Bears managed to match that field goal first to tie it at 3-3, and then started tacking on touchdown after touchdown as their offense sputtered with getting rhythm and then other times was relying on the big play to get the job done. The game was well in hand late in the second quarter when the Bears drove the field in just over a minute and a half and had one shot at a touchdown play before having to kick the field goal with 7 seconds left. Riley threw a pretty good ball to Marvin Jones, who didn't quite do the best things with his feet, and it looked like a touchdown, but on review it was called back. And not having seen the replay, I have to believe the replay was accurate, but it did look like he potentially was very close. But the Bears did kick the field goal and were up 26-3 at halftime. They continued to roll in the third quarter, getting the score up to 43-3, before things settled into the end-of-game rut with a pretty unremarkable fourth quarter, with both of those ASU touchdowns, and one more for the Bears on a short field. Brock Manchin got his first significant playing time of the season, but it was mostly just in mop-up duty to hand off the ball to the backup running backs, who didn't make much progress in the soggy conditions with Arizona State locking down on the run. But neither did the ASU offense get anything going. So it was a pretty unremarkable fourth quarter, and Manchin only threw the ball a couple of times, so we didn't really get to see how he was progressing. Overall, my feeling was that we didn't see a very well-played game on either side of the ball. Arizona State just looks terrible. Anytime they seem to have anything good going, either offensively or defensively, penalties shot them in the foot. Their quarterback was very inaccurate and mistake-prone at that, throwing, I think it was 3 interceptions today. And yet, the Cal defense did shut them down. I'm sure ASU did not get a ton of yards today. And of course, 3 points is hard to argue with ever for any Pac-10 team, the possible exception of Washington State. But at the same time, you just didn't get the feeling like the Bears were performing all that great, that that team would hold any Pac-10 team to a low point total. And the offense, while it did have moments of showing good rhythm, never seemed to have a real dominating feel to it or a strong performance. I think this is the type of game that's really that Riley's built for, because he's such a mistake-free kind of guy. But he's not the guy who gets you those special passes or those special plays that a great quarterback will get you. He's very safe and conservative. And so in a game like today where he doesn't need for most drives to be productive, he does fairly well. He did seem to get good pass protection today. The offensive line seemed to be excelling in that regard. There weren't too many plays that they got through, although when they got through, Riley didn't stand a chance. Usually it was a case where they came off the edge and had an unblocked man straight at Riley, and Riley wasn't able to recognize it and get rid of the ball. So he did have a few sacks today, which was somewhat uncharacteristic. But generally speaking, I felt pretty good about the offensive line's pass protection, but not so good about their run blocking. Where Vereen and others got their yards was not based on big holes being opened for them, but on them finding something out of nothing. Easy Sofelli looked pretty good today. He had a pretty good game and got a lot of playing time. They were clearly trying to balance the time between Vereen and Sofelli. And Sofelli did well. I'm feeling a little bit better about Sofelli as a starting running back as I'm seeing him play more, particularly if you give him another season to mature, which, in my opinion, he'll get. I know there are those who think Vereen will bolt for the NFL after the end of this season, but I don't suspect that's going to happen. Defensively, I felt that the defensive line and the linebackers did a pretty good job. They mixed up their schemes, they got good pressure, they sure as heck didn't let ASU run the ball. They were very much a one-dimensional team forced to pass the ball. And so the pressure there was good. They got good pressure, forced three to get rid of the ball quickly a number of times. There were two or three instances where they brought a blitz and didn't get there quick enough for the blitz. When you do one of those overloaded blitzes, it usually means there's somebody fairly open, and it's up to the quarterback to be able to read and recognize that. And only your exceptional quarterbacks can do it quickly if you get to the quarterback fast. But Threat is not exceptional, and sometimes he was given the time to find those voids and dump off the pass to where the blitz was coming from. The secondary coverage was okay. It wasn't something that I thought was exceptional. I did feel they did fine. There wasn't anything I said, boy, they really blew it. I feel like they did a pretty good job down the field, and I'm also still feeling like, particularly at home, they understand their schemes and protections and are doing a pretty good job of not letting people run free other than when the scheme dictates that somebody be left a little bit more free. They're doing a good job of matching up man on man. I feel like our corners are getting better at their man coverage and also getting off their blocks on the wide receiver screens. If there's something we really need to work well when Oregon comes to town, it's the corners and the safeties being able to get off blocks on wide receiver screens. And there were a number of those thrown today, and the Bears did a very good job of getting off of their blocks. The player who continues to impress me, and I think it might be Pendergast's most impressive personnel decision yet, is Chris Conte as a safety. He struggled as a corner, but he's doing exceptionally well as a safety. He's got a very good nose for the football. He collapses on things very well. Every time I focus on him and watch him in the play, I'm impressed with what he does. He seems to know the defense very well and also seems to have done his research on whatever offense he's facing, at least for the games I've witnessed. Between him and Mike Muhammad with the linebackers, I feel we've got a central core that is very strong. And then with the talent that we have, perhaps not as refined as it could be, but the raw talent we have at defensive line, it's no wonder this defense has shown signs of brilliance. And again, you can't argue with 3 points that the defense gave up. Arizona State has scored well more than that in most of their games. So, this defense obviously has a lot going for it. But again, I can definitely see a better team exposing a lot more than Arizona State did. This wasn't a overwhelming or dominating performance that makes you believe this team can hold anybody to 3 points. Although I think, as they've shown with Arizona and UCLA, that they can hold even reasonably good offenses to lower point totals. So what do we have coming up next? We've got two road games before they return home to play Oregon. I'm forgetting whether Washington State or Oregon State are first in that set of two. It's unlike me to not remember, but since I'm literally driving in the car, I don't know. But in either case, I think the hope is that the Bears don't completely drop the ball at Washington State and escape there with what should be a relatively easy win. And then it really would be above expectations for them to go into Oregon State, the team that the Bears just have not had any success with, and win that game. But I do think the Bears have enough talent to win that game, and Oregon State has not exactly played as tough as they have in previous years. And so far, I've had a fairly easy schedule. Their trip to Arizona, where they won that game, is definitely their most impressive victory of the season. But they also went to Washington and lost, and didn't look all that impressive in their non-conference play as well. So that's a game they could win if the Bears can show that they can perform on the road and can figure out how to overcome the Vulcan mind meld that head coach Mike Riley at Oregon State seems to have over Tedford's Bears. Because we haven't beat this team since 2004. We lost to them at home in 2005 in a distressing game. We lost to them in 2006 in Corvallis. The 2007 game nobody will forget. And then in 2008 and 2009, again, they showed their dominance over the Cal program. So it's really going to take an exceptionally strong effort. And now I'm remembering, actually, the OSU game is first, which probably is for the best. If the Bears can build on the confidence of this week, you really want to play the harder team first when you have two road games back-to-back, because the road games do take their toll. And so going to play this easier team second probably is in the best interest of this team. But, as I said, 1-1 from that would meet expectations. The team would then be 5-4 coming home to play Oregon, then Stanford, then Washington. And it continues to be my contention that the Bears should have no significant problems with Washington, have the team to beat Stanford yet again this year, and are going to have a really hard time beating this Oregon Duck team that really is starting to dominate the Pac-10 with the scheme and chemistry that Coach Kelly has brought to that team. But overall, you should never complain about a 50-17 victory in a Pac-10 game. I think it shows that this team plays a lot better at home than it does on the road. As much as I didn't see anything overwhelmingly impressive, I'm going to be pretty optimistic about things moving forward. And I'm really looking forward to the Bears playing well against Oregon State next week, if they can play more like they did on the road versus Arizona than they did on the road in Los Angeles. That's going to wrap up this edition of the On the Road Home podcast. Jason and I should have a podcast midweek, and thank you for listening. Go Bears. On the road again.